So what is it that you tend to take for granted? Hopefully, you don't take for granted on days like today our parking facilities team. Can you believe our parking facilities team? I mean, I'm telling you, man. You know, I get a text from Tim about 5:58. Said, "Oh, it's easy to move. No problem. We're good to go." They just carry out their ministry with such servanthood. You know, we're just so blessed to have them. And something we don't take for granted on a day like today. Maybe it's water that certainly we take for granted. There are places in the world where really the biggest prayer of their heart is, "God, if we can have clean, safe drinking water, today would be a big day." I mean, that's honest to goodness, the cry of the heart of the day for many people. If they could just have clean, safe drinking water. And obviously, we take that for granted. I mean, you know, you can go home today. Most likely, the odds are, if you're cold, you can turn up the heat. When you get hot, later this summer, and by the way, doesn't that sound good right now? You can turn on the air and cool down, you know. When you open up the refrigerator, when you get home, if you're thirsty, you can probably get something cold. Nice, that good cold water to drink, you know, or maybe a sweet iced tea to keep you awake. God just blesses us with so many things. I don't know what you take for granted, but I think that the one thing we have in common today as Christian people, my opinion, what we most take for granted is the gift of the Holy Spirit. We have this wonderful gift called the Holy Spirit, but we don't take advantage of it because we just don't know that much about the Holy Spirit. A.W. Tozer is a wonderful Christian writer, and he put it this way, pretty convicting. He said, if the Holy Spirit was withdrawn from the church today, probably 95% of what we do would just go on and no one would know the difference. Then he said, if the Holy Spirit had withdrawn from the New Testament church, 95% of what they did would stop and everybody would know the difference. I hope that's not true, but honestly, I wonder if maybe it isn't true. I think we kind of treat the Holy Spirit like Cousin Eddie. You know what I mean? I mean, it's like, you know, when Cousin Eddie shows up, it's a little awkward. It's not boring, but it's a little awkward when he shows up. And frankly, you're kind of glad when he leaves. I think there have been so many excesses of the Holy Spirit sometimes. When something supernatural takes place and it's the Spirit of God, it's a little nervous for us. It's a little mysterious. And like, okay, it's over, things have calmed down, back to normal. I think we can tend to kind of view the Holy Spirit in that way. And so it shouldn't be that way. We need to celebrate this gift, so let's try to learn about it together. If you take out your sermon notes, let's dig in and talk about this. And here is the question I'll just pose based on what A.W. Tozer said to us. Here's the question. If the Holy Spirit were to leave, would you even notice? The Apostle John is writing this letter in the New Testament. He's writing about walking with Jesus Christ, following Jesus Christ. And he basically, as we've learned, this is the sixth week in our study, it's like a spiral staircase with six different themes that he keeps driving home. And so we're going to talk about the last theme today. It's the Holy Spirit. And it's webbed throughout this teaching. He talks about the power of the Holy Spirit. He understands it, and so he talks to us about it. I'm just going to be honest and tell you, I'm going to tell you today what I wish I would have learned earlier in my Christian life. Don't misunderstand. I had wonderful mentors, a wonderful Bible college and seminary and church and pastor and role models in my home. But at the same time, in those days, I think there were so many excesses of the Holy Spirit, what I'll call charismania. Chuck Smith called it charismania. That many churches said, let's just focus on Jesus and the Bible, that we're not sure about the Holy Spirit about this, so they just kind of backed off from it, I think. I think many of us were raised in a background that way, and so we were kind of a little bit afraid of the Holy Spirit and what really that means to have the Holy Spirit. And so I hope today you will have a better understanding of this gift we have, and it will really change. It will drastically change the way you and I do life. Now, the Apostle John had been with Jesus Christ. And so before we kind of get to what he says in 1 John about the Holy Spirit, kind of a two-part time together, let's start in the Gospel of John. So have your Bibles turned to the fourth book of the New Testament, the Gospel of John. And John records his experience with Jesus Christ. So I want to see first what Jesus taught John about the Holy Spirit before the Holy Spirit came. Then we'll go over to 1 John, okay, and see what John has to say to the church about the Holy Spirit. Now, here's the context as you're turning to John 14. Jesus knows he's going to be crucified soon. He will die, he'll be buried, he'll be resurrected. He knows he's going to ascend back to heaven. But he's taught these disciples for 3 years, man. They've seen him up close and personal, and he's getting ready to die, and they're not ready to handle it. Even though he's told them, they're convinced he's going to set up an earthly kingdom. And so it's a tough time. And so he begins to speak. You know, when someone is close, maybe getting close to death, you sense, we listen to every word that they say. You ever been in a room like that? Last night, Kristen and I visited with a special person in our lives. Her name is Karen Grant from this church. She's had cancer for a long time, and she hadn't been responding for 2 or 3 days. And just last night, as she began to say a few things with the family there, like every word she would say, you know, you're listening to every word this person is saying. And so Jesus is honest to tell them, I'm leaving. I'm going to die. So look at me. Listen to me. He prepares them for the fact he's going to be gone. All right, they've totally relied on him for 3 years, and now he's going to be gone. Let's start in John 14 in this passage when he writes about preparing for his absence. And he says in verse 18, I will not abandon you as orphans, I promise. He said, I'm going to come to you. All right, that's kind of weird. He's told them, I'm going to leave. Then he says, I'm going to come to you. How does that work? He will come to you. We'll skip down to verse 26 and he'll explain what he means. When the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, he, circle the word he, the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and will remind you of everything that I have told you. I'm leaving you a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace that I give is a gift that the world cannot give to you. So don't be troubled and don't be afraid. But are they afraid? They're absolutely afraid. Of course they're afraid. They're troubled. I mean, it's really nice for them to, you know, I'm sure to hear that God the Father is going to send the Holy Spirit. But I mean, Jesus has been with them. And my guess is John and the other apostles are not thinking this is a very good deal. This doesn't sound like a great trade. Okay, Jesus has been with them. They've seen him heal people miraculously and feed people miraculously. When they had questions, he had answers. He's going. He's leaving. He will not be here anymore. But he's saying, but I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to you. Trust me, it's going to be a good thing. See, there's a real tendency, I think, for us to do the same thing. Well, we don't have God the Father. We don't hear his voice the way the patriarchs did in the Old Testament. We don't have Jesus here the way the apostles did in the first century. But we have the Holy Spirit. And we think, I think, probably the way many people do. Can I use this analogy? It's like we see God the Father as maybe varsity, and Jesus is maybe like JV, and then there's the Holy Spirit. He's like the freshman team. But at least it's some of God, right? I mean, it's not as good as having Jesus with you. I mean, it's not as good as hearing the voice of God like Moses did on the mountain. I mean, it's not as good as that, but at least we've got the Holy Spirit. That is a false understanding of who God is and the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And so because we don't understand this, we take for granted this wonderful gift we have. I say we understand it because I get the question a lot. What is the Holy Spirit? And when people say, what is the Holy Spirit? I know, oh, we've got to do some teaching, because it's not what, it's who. As we just saw, he, the Holy Spirit, is a person. So I wonder how well you know the Bible. You may have been around church your whole life, but if people ask you to explain the Holy Spirit, heck, what would you say about that? Sometimes we think we know, you know, things about the Bible that we don't know so well, we can mix them up. So I like to do my homework. I was doing preparation for this message last week. I do this weekly preparation every single Sunday. I look at the cartoons, the Family Circus. Bill Keen is the artist. He's a Christian. It's fun to watch the Family Circus, I think. And last week, it was the Gospel According to Dolly. Anybody see it? It was awesome. She was teaching her siblings about God and the Bible. She had 4 insights for them from the Bible. Maybe you didn't know this. She said, the first commandment is, it's when Eve said to Adam, you eat this apple now. And then she said to them, well, God created the world in 6 days, and on the 7th day, he was arrested. And then she said, the epistles, they are the wives of the apostles. My favorite one is when she said to them, and the 23rd Psalm, don't you love the 23rd Psalm? It says, the Lord is my chauffeur, I shall not walk. It's kind of cute when we hear that kids get things a little mixed up, but it can be pretty serious when we get stuff mixed up. It can sound so close. We can be so close, but yet so far away, you know? And so I think it's a matter of information, understanding who the Holy Spirit is, because throughout Scripture, we are taught that the Holy Spirit has the same attributes as every person in this room. He speaks, he acts, he calls, he forbids, he knows, he teaches, he decides. You know, he even grieves. You can grieve him. He has emotions. It's not a what, it's a who. Why? Because you can't relate to an it. You can connect to a person. The Holy Spirit is a person. So on your sermon notes, let's talk about some basic truths in regard to who the Holy Spirit is. Number one, the Holy Spirit is God in spirit form. You know, Jesus is God in flesh. The Holy Spirit is God in spirit form. It's just so critical so we can connect to him. Again, before we go over to 1 John, back to John 14, verse 16, Jesus said, I will ask the Father, he will give you another advocate. Circle the word another, very critical. Another advocate who will never leave you, Jesus said. He will never leave you. That word another is a very fascinating word. The Greek language is what we have, the original language of 1 John. There are two different words they translated another. Two different words. I want you to understand the difference. There's one word, it's the word heteros. That's the word for another, something of another kind. It's similar to, it's a lot alike, okay? Then the other word is the word allos, which is the very same kind. Guess which word is used here? I'll send you another. It's the word, Greek word is allos. Jesus was saying, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, and he is exactly like me. When Jesus said, I and the Father, God are one, Jesus told them, the Holy Spirit is exactly like me. The exact representation, the exact same thing. Which is why it begins to make sense over in chapter 16, turn two chapters over, John 16, verse 7, when Jesus said, in fact, it is best for you, he's telling them, it's best for you that I go away, that I die and go back to heaven. Why? Because if I don't, the advocate or the Holy Spirit won't come. If I do go away, then I will send him to you. I wonder if you believe the Holy Spirit really is best. If you could have Jesus here with you or you could have the Holy Spirit in you, which would you choose? You know what he says here? The Holy Spirit is best. Why? Number two, God with you is good, but God in you is best. Isn't this amazing how many times we think, if I could just have been here when Jesus was here, man, I would be so much more focused if I could be with him the way they were. No, you have, Jesus said, it's better to be with him. That's a great thing. But to him to be in you, it's a much better thing. And so when the disciples are hearing this, I mean, if you and I could just believe this, it would totally change your spiritual life. Everything else we've talked about, wouldn't it? If you started to believe, not only is God with me, but he is in me. I'm talking everything I see, everywhere I go, whatever I process, he's going there with me. If you view life through the filter of God in you, the hope of glory will totally change your entire spiritual life, whatever the obstacle you're facing in your life. Let's fast forward now from the teaching of Jesus. Jesus has died. He's come back from the dead. He's taught for 40 days. He ascends back into heaven. And one by one, what happened to the apostles? They were killed one after the other. Just like this week, we've seen people the last 2 weeks killed in Egypt and in Syria, right? In Nigeria. And ISIS has made it crystal clear. Who's their target? Christians. There's no, they're not playing any games about it. It's clear focus. It's Christians. Not those who believe in God. It's those who believe in Jesus Christ as the Savior of the world, the Redeemer. They're focused. That's who was being killed today. That's who was being killed in the first century. Every one of these apostles have been bumped off. They've all been killed now, except for John. He's the only one still alive. And he writes about the Holy Spirit. Because guess what? Jesus told him the Holy Spirit was coming. Jesus is gone. He's watched all of his friends die. And all John has is the Holy Spirit. He's now experienced what Jesus is talking about. So he begins to talk to them about this. Now, let's turn to 1 John. Now, I have said this because we are small, but we are mighty today, aren't we? That sounded really mighty. The other two services did very, very well on the second go-around. I bet you guys can nail it on the second go-around. We are small but mighty, right? Right. Okay, here we go. So I'm going to quickly hit some passages in 1 John. John lays it out here. I want you to help me with some words along the way to make sure we're really grasping this big idea that John gives to us. It's not profound. It's not hard to understand, but we have to really grasp it. So here, let's read these verses. Here's 1 John 2, verse 20. The Holy One has given you His Spirit. His Spirit is inside of you. 1 John 2, 27. You've received the Holy Spirit, and He lives within you. 1 John 3, 24. And we know He lives in us because the Spirit He gave us lives
in us.
Where does He live?
In us.
1 John 4, verse 4. The Spirit who lives in you, capital S, the Holy Spirit of God, is greater than this wickedness, this darkness of our world, the evil one, little s. The Spirit in you is greater than the spirit that's so prevalent in the world. 1 John 4:13, God has given us His Spirit. Why? As proof that we will live with Him and He in us. Last night, when we were with Karen, she had not been talking very much, and we finished having prayer, and we went out into the hall, all of us except for Mike, her husband. And Mike came out with tears in his eyes as soon as we walked out, and he says, she just said, can you feel the Holy Spirit, Mike? Here's a woman in a very weakened condition, and the Holy Spirit is so in her that she can hardly say a word, except she said, Mike, do you feel the Holy Spirit? This is real. This is not pretend. It makes all the difference in life and when you face the end of life. And so John drives home, the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. Every Christian receives this gift of the Holy Spirit. This is the most common misunderstanding, where people say, well, I'm a Christian, but I'm not sure I've received the gift of the Holy Spirit. No, the Bible teaches you receive all of the Holy Spirit has to give to you, the gift of the Holy Spirit, when? At conversion. The very beginning of the church, when for the first time people were told Jesus has lived, He has died, He's been buried, He's been resurrected. The people now know it. They're convicted of their sin. They actually interrupt His sermon. Just one time I wish somebody would interrupt my sermon. Just one time I wish some people would stand up and say, Steve, stop preaching. What can we do? That'd be awesome today. If somebody wants to do that, go for it. But anyway, that's what happened to Peter. He's preaching about Jesus, who He is, it's what He did, and he's preaching away, and verse 37 tells us what happened. Look at this, verse 37 of Acts 2. Peter's words about Jesus pierced their hearts, and they said to him, I mean out loud, to the other apostles, brothers, what should we do? Peter replied, each of you must repent of your sins, get off that path and turn toward God, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. The last phrase of where I want you to focus, and you will what? Receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. How many people received the gift of the Holy Spirit? Those who called on the name of the Lord. 3,000 people were told on the spot, surrendered to Christ, and they received the gift of the Holy Spirit. If you've called on the name of Christ, if you sought His forgiveness, you already have the gift of the Holy Spirit. But now here's my favorite part of the text. Look at verse 39. This promise, he says, it's for you, he's telling them, and it's to your children, and it's also to those who are far away. Who's he talking about right there, far away? Would you turn to your neighbor and say he's talking about you? Do you know this? That's you right there. He's saying 2,000 years from now, the same Holy Spirit that Jesus sent to the disciples, the same Holy Spirit that they received on the day of Pentecost, the same power of the Holy Spirit of God lives inside of you today as a follower of Christ. You know, have you ever received a gift, but you didn't know what to do with it? You know, we have this wonderful gift. We've been called by the Lord our God. We've turned to Him. We have these gifts, but it's like we don't even know what to do with our gift. Like this phone. It's called an iPhone. I've learned you can make telephone calls on it. You can. There are a lot of things it can do. I mean, I have no clue. I mean, I know very little of what it can do. Every time I learn something new, oh, wow, can do that? Wow, that's really cool. I'm usually pretty slow to the party. A few years ago, our kids got this present for me at Christmas time. It's called a GPS system to put in my glove compartment. I said to my kids, a GPS system? I don't need it. I'm a man. I'm a guy. I always know where I am at all times. I never lose my way. Maybe for somebody else, but give me something I need. I don't need a GPS system. Men, can I get an amen in the house? Come on. That's right. We know where we're going, don't we? Or at least we're about to. I mean, any minute I'm going to recognize something, right? It's just a matter of time. Well, even though I usually know where I'm going, the truth is, after we had that GPS system, there were some times we were driving around in the hills of Tennessee, and my wife goes, honey, you're lost, aren't you? She says, maybe we should get in that GPS system. She would get at that thing, and she would plug it in. I would go, well, I probably don't need it, but okay, go ahead. So she would get it out, and that became the pattern a little while. It would always be, she would be the one who, let's see, why don't you get this right here. Okay, fine. Well, now, fast forward this past week, we're out of town, and we get in the car. First thing I said was, honey, do you have the directions on your phone? All this time I had this resource right in the glove compartment, but here I am meandering, lost, wasting time. We have this wonderful resource called the Holy Spirit, but it doesn't work until we plug ourselves into that power. We've been given the Holy Spirit if we've surrendered to Christ. The question is, are you being filled with the Holy Spirit? That's the question of today. Being filled with, it just means, are you plugged into the power of God? So you've received. The question is, are you being filled? That's where I want to camp the rest of today. Are you being filled? Because the Bible talks about one baptism, many fillings. Why do we have to pray to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Because somebody said, I think it was D.L. Moody said, because we leak. No, we need God's fresh guidance every day, don't we? He's given us all the Holy Spirit we ever need, but it does us no good if we're not accessing the power of being filled afresh with His Holy Spirit, His mercy. It's new every morning. You can call it direction if you want to. You need His power. You don't know which way to go. You don't know how to get there. And so you start to just pray, Lord, would you fill me with your Spirit? And you know what will happen when you do that? He will begin to guide you. You might call it comfort. Some of you, as I talked today about our family last night, you feel alone because you missed somebody in your life. Their chair is empty now, and your heart is breaking. And the Holy Spirit said, would you let me comfort you? Some of you might call it strength. You've been struggling with the same sin for so long. The same issues over and over. You just get so defeated and you're just so tired, man, you just kind of give up. You accept it. And you don't really need to be told what to do. You already know. You don't need to be told what not to do. You already know that too. It's a matter of accessing what He wants to give to you. You need the power of the Holy Spirit. You cannot do this by yourself. You cannot fix yourself. You cannot fix anybody else. You cannot make yourself do the right thing. Can't do it. In your strength alone, it will not happen. So it's not a question, if you have received the gift of the Holy Spirit. Have you plugged into His power? I want to tell you a story and then an addendum to it that you won't believe in just a minute. But Dr. Bill Bright writes about in his book, I recommend this book, How to Be Filled with the Spirit. And Dr. Bill Bright tells about a farmer on the oil fields of West Texas, a guy named Mr. Yates. He owned these hills, lots of acreage. But because of the depression in those days, he could not make ends meet. So they actually had to rely on government subsidies for food and for clothing. Okay? And one day a huge oil company came into the area and they asked for permission to drill on his property, and at 1,115 feet, they struck a huge oil reserve, 80,000 barrels of oil a day. Then they did it again, and they got twice as much. 30 years later, they drilled again. They found one barrel with 125,000 barrels of oil every single day, and Mr. Yates was a multimillionaire the whole time, but he was living like the poorest guy in the area. And at the last service, a guy walked forward to me. He was fairly new at the church. His eyes were like saucers. He said, I came from where Yates Field was. He said, I know the story. That was a Standard Oil company that came in. He talked about how one side, they had all given up on the one side of the property. It was useless. The other side was the oil. It wasn't possible. They didn't think it was possible to find oil. He said, I was there. And he said that today. Got my attention. God has given you this wonderful resource. We have the wealth of heaven, but but like we're living just like we're struggling. We can't get through it. We don't know what to do. We don't know where to turn. We've given up. I've got to find the joy. I know I'm supposed to have joy. I'm hurting so bad. I know, God, give me some joy. I got to get some joy. But no, the joy is already right there. The Holy Spirit. It's the fruit of the Spirit, the joy of Christ. You're so desperate to find peace and comfort. The grief and the anxiety. Can you believe the anxiety of this age? It can overwhelm you. I read every week dozens of you who are trying to get through one more day. The depression, the anxiety is just, it's off the charts. And we have the Holy Spirit of God to help us inside of us. You say, does it really matter? What if I fail to tap into the power of the Holy Spirit? Well, it does matter. Let me tell you four reasons why this is the whole ball game. Number one, if we do not access the power of the Holy Spirit, we will become self-righteous. That's why. See, Paul wrote to the church in Galatia, he said, Galatians 3, verse 3, how foolish can you be? After starting your new lives in the Spirit, you know how much you need God, right? When you come to Christ, you're desperate. Why are you now trying to become perfect by your own human effort? You know what he's talking about, don't you? You come to God, I'm desperate, help me, God. And suddenly, God, I've got this. Help somebody else who really needs help. I got this. And it's in your own strength and own power. And basically, you're crawling like a toddler when God wants you to be chauffeured in a car. Why are you doing that? Why are you settling? It's because it's all about you. And that becomes a problem. Number two, if we don't access his power, we end up with a guilt-ridden religion. If you're not relying on God's power, guaranteed, it's going to be all guilt and shame. You know guilt and shame. It's what you think about in the middle of the night that haunts you. And it's all, when it's about you and your fallenness, and the darkness inside of you, when it's about that, man, you are going to crash and burn. So you have to move and say, it's about God. It's not about me. It's about God. And then here's the third problem. If you don't access his power, we're susceptible to false teaching. There's so much false teaching around us today. There was in John's day. He wrote in 1 John 2:26. He said, this is why I'm writing these things, to warn you about those who want to lead you astray. In John's day, what was the problem? Gnosticism. You know what Gnosticism was? Basically, they said matter, all matter is evil, and the spirit is good. In other words, what I do with my life over here during the week, I can do what I want with my flesh because it's all bad anyway. When I'm doing the God thing, that's good. Have you ever heard of this thought process? Hey, you know, I come to church, man. I read the Bible. I come to church, what's the average, 1.4 times a month? I mean, I'm good. God and I are good. Now, don't mess with what I'm doing over here during the week. Leave that part of my world alone. That's just Gnosticism all over again, 2015. It's the same deal. It was a problem then. It's a problem today where we will go, you know, God, I'm here. This is my spiritual life. That's good. But my flesh, it's bad, so I can't do what I want to do. That is a problem. It's not living in the power of the Holy Spirit. And so number four, if we don't access his power, our salvation is going to come through information. And that's what you see on the talk shows of America. When people talk about religion, they'll talk about truth, my truth, right? This is my truth. Your truth, my truth is as good as your truth. Your truth is as good as my truth. So what have you learned? What's the latest information? The Eastern mysticism you've learned about. This is so prevalent in our culture. And the rules are there's no absolute truth. We believe there is absolute truth in the power of God alone through his word and his Holy Spirit and his people. In fact, John puts it this way in 1 John 2, verse 27. Don't be drawn in by the other false teachings around you. You have received the Holy Spirit. He lives within you. So you don't need anyone to teach you what's true. The Spirit teaches you everything you need to know. And what he teaches you, it is absolutely the truth. It's not a lie. And so just as he taught you, remain in fellowship with Jesus Christ. God is inside of you. So don't be fooled by the new spirituality, the new truth. Galatians 5:25, Paul put it this way, since we're living by the Spirit, let's follow the Spirit's leading. And here's the key, in every part of our lives. Don't go, okay, I come to church, but I do what I want over here. No. God says, it's all or nothing. I want to be in every part of your life. So let's bottom line this thing. How do we live in the power of the Holy Spirit? How can I be filled with the Holy Spirit? Let me make two suggestions to you for you to take home and practice. It will change your life. Number one, being filled with the Holy Spirit must be an ongoing prayer. I'm talking daily, every single day, as long as you live. You say, Lord, fill me with your Spirit. When you're not sure about a decision, about a relationship, you're anxious. If you just stop to say, God, fill me with your Spirit. Now, I'm pretty good at preaching this, but I'm not real good at practicing sometimes. I pray every morning, Lord, fill me with your Spirit. But then you know what I tend to do? In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, I got a busy day, Lord. Okay, Lord, see you. I got a lot to do. So I'm off about my business. And if I don't create enough margin to hear from God along the way, I have learned you can do the work of God without the Spirit of God. That's a problem. Whether you're paid in ministry or you're a volunteer in ministry, please don't miss that. Because God is blessing some kind of work and ministry you do, doesn't mean you're surrendered to Him. There'll be a time, God will tolerate it for so long if you're not going to be surrendering to Him. But understand, you can absolutely do your work, your life, and your power. But why would you do that when you can rely on His power? So pray this prayer every day, but also make sure you build in some time to hear from God along the way without television, the news, or media, or whatever. Some of you, by the way, I don't know who I'm talking to, but some of you, if I told you, you cannot use this for a week, I can see you freaking out right now. You can see your faces. How about 24 hours? No! I really am concerned. You cannot turn it off, which means you probably cannot hear from God. Create enough margin. Slow down so He can speak to you. It's like you have a toddler at your table and you try to pour some lemonade into their glass and that toddler is like all over the place. Hold your cup still so I can fill you with some lemonade. It's like God sometimes says, will you slow down long enough so I can fill your cup, please? Slow down. Stop long enough so I can speak to you and guide you and fill you with my Spirit. Here's the second suggestion. Being filled with the Spirit requires being emptied of me. This is the greatest challenge, hands down. All right, here's the way I think we make decisions. Imagine in your brain, in your heart, there's a boardroom. Is that where decisions are made, in a boardroom? Okay, so here's how it goes. There's about four of you that sit around a boardroom making a decision. There's your financial self, there's your spiritual self, there's your work self maybe. Your sexual self. There's all these parts of you, right? And you're making decisions. But then you decide to follow Christ. And guess what happens? You say, God, would you come in and you give Him a chair to sit around the boardroom? So the four of us make decisions, but would you join us? We'd like your input too on our decisions. Isn't that nice? We invite Him in to help us make decisions. And so we say, God, you get a vote. And so come around the table where we make decisions here. And you know what God says? I abstain from voting. I'll come in and I'll watch. But if you guys want to make the decisions, go for it. I'll just watch. What we need to do is fire the other people around the boardroom and say, you call the shots. You come in. Not about self now. What do you want? Fill me with your Spirit. It's a daily decision to surrender to you. I've heard it described this way. The filling of the Holy Spirit does not mean the believer gets more of the Holy Spirit, but rather the Holy Spirit gets more of the believer. So emptying ourselves of ourselves to make room for His Spirit. Now, some of you put down your outlines, pick it up one more time. There's one more thing I want to show you. 1 John 4, verse 4. You belong to God, my dear children. You've already won a victory. Would you underline the word, already won a victory? You say it's four words. It's one word. I'll tell you in a minute. You've already won a victory over those people. That's the world. because the Spirit who lives in you is greater than the Spirit who lives in the world. There's one Greek word for the word, for these words already won a victory. The word is overcome, overcomer. In the Greek language, the word is nike. Write it down. N-I-K-E. That's not a bad idea for a brand of sports equipment, is it? Nike is built around the Greek word nike, that means champion, victor, overcomer. God says that about you. You've already won the victory. You've already overcome the world. The one inside you is great. And that's where the power comes from. I asked you on my blog this week to fill in, to help finish a sentence. Thanks for your responses. Let me just share a few of them. I ask you to finish this sentence. By the power of the Holy Spirit, I. One of you wrote, by the power of the Holy Spirit, I drug my lonely, broken self to the lobby after church to finally get plugged into a small group. It's changed my life. Another said, by the power of the Holy Spirit, I have finally found peace. One woman wrote, and you don't do this unless you have a doctor approving this, okay? But one woman wrote, I fasted for 40 days. I was so desperate. I fasted. Water, juice, and milk. And I learned that God's word was the best food I could have. And then I learned to rely and trust and love God more. One woman wrote, I'm happily married today by the power of the Holy Spirit after two physically and mentally abusive failed marriages. I found God through my second divorce, and the Holy Spirit started whispering to me. It took him 2.5 years to get through to me, but he kept saying to me, you do matter to me. You are my daughter. I love you. And now she writes, the Holy Spirit has led me to a man, and he's guided our marriage now for 9 years. Another said, by the power of the Holy Spirit, I pray more. I talk to God more. I reach out to other people more. It's not me, it's the Holy Spirit. Another said, I have hope now because of the Holy Spirit. I'm encouraged by him every day. One wrote, by the power of the Holy Spirit, I forgive. One said, I can live free from hatred and anger. Another one simply wrote, my anxiety is gone. Because of the Holy Spirit, I've overcome depression. As we remember Christ's sacrifice today, I want to ask you to fill in that sentence. What is the Holy Spirit calling you to do today? What will he empower you to do? It's not something you can probably do on your own. Okay? But ask him what that would be. It's only through the sacrifice of Christ that we can come boldly to him and remember his sacrifice. But understand, it's not sitting here saying, boy, Lord, I wish you were here with us. No, you, what you have is better. And so through the power of the Holy Spirit, God, I will do this. Surrender that to him. You take that next step in your journey as you follow the path of Christ. Let's pray. God, every person in this room has a story. It's not finished. It's being written. And it is an incredible thing when you begin to write our story. When we really turn the pen over to you. We turn the boardroom over to you. We turn our daily planner over to you. God, I pray that this will not be just something we will do when we're kind of in church mode, but we will allow you, we will invite you to be involved in every part of our lives. As we take the bread and fruit of the vine and remember your sacrifice, we're reminded that one day in heaven we will drink anew with you in your eternal kingdom. And until that time, God, thank you. You've given us proof that we belong to you by giving us the exact same representation of God the Father and Jesus Christ the Son we have through the Holy Spirit. May we live like it and seek to honor you in light of your commitment to us. We pray in Jesus' name.